David l'David. Okay, over here it does not say l'David mizmor. It doesn't say mizmor l'David. There's really just this is unique. This is the first time we had something like this where there's no hakdama to the mizmor. L'David al tischar ba mireim. Okay, so there that is a hakdama. L'David bishanoso estama, where he changed, he feigned insanity. Here we don't even have that. We just David right away. He just gets right into the content. He immediately says his name, and then right away he says, "Okay, this is what I have to tell you. I'm not giving you any background. There was some background. He's telling you I'm in a very difficult situation. What? Right. So here we have mamish. I think this is the first time we have a mizma with this absolutely no introduction. L'David al tischar ba mireim v'al tikane b'oisei avla. What does it mean word tischar? So I'm used to, from memory, just remember the first thing comes to my mind, but so you will see the first thing, a lot of different interpretations, which obviously is not what I'm used to, just at on a very simple level. Do not compete. Do not compete with the wicked. That's what I'm used to hearing. That's what I'm used to from the olden days, looking at the article translation, maybe not. Don't compete with evildoers. Now, that's not really what it says in the Mefarshim. They have a little bit different. We'll see. Okay.
Exactly that.
To a degree, depends on which Mefarsh we learn. We have to take a little more carefully, more precision. But the basic interpretation is, like you said, do not compete with the wicked, which is a very powerful concept. Don't compete. You're not going to win. I always like talking about this thing is that we're children. We learned, in the industry, the entertainment industry. Not today anymore. Today, the entertainment industry for children is mamish, an abomination, to say the least. But when we were children, we grew up. There was a certain type of entertainment for children: Superman, Batman, Spider-Man, okay, whatever all these things were. And there was basically one yesod. And the one yesod that this country, people grew up with, I don't know what on before our time is, there are forces of evil and there are forces of good. And the forces of good at the end will always win. Will win. That sums up the entire entertainment industry for children under the age of 6 years old.
And who created it?
Jews, right? They're a force of evil, force of good, and the force of good will always win. They will prevail because, and you get the impression, because they're stronger. They're more powerful. And the underdog are the forces of evil.
More virtuous.
But it's more, if you think about your childhood, the forces of good are stronger. The underdog are the forces of evil. And the only reason why the force of evil would prevail in the beginning of the program is because they were clever. They were clever. They knew how to take advantage of vulnerabilities. And then at the end, finally, when the force of good get their act together, they wipe out the forces of evil. It appears that is totally false. After studying, going through life and going studying Tanakh, that is 100% false. The force of evil are way more powerful than the force of good. Ki yetzer leiv ha'adam ra minu urav. The yetzer hara has a 13-year head start. A person only gets the yetzer when he's 13 years old. Until 13 years old, there's only one passion a person has, ra, to do evil. That's the way it is. And the only reason why tzaddikim, the righteous, survive is only because they're the underdogs. It's only because the Kadosh Baruch Hu guards them with a very special hashkacha pratis that they can miraculously survive against the overwhelming forces of evil. And this mizmor just says it straight out. Don't compete with the wicked. You're going to lose. You're going to lose. You don't have a chance. Go into a boxing match with a Russia. There's a Russian tzaddik. The Russia will knock out the tzaddik in 10 seconds. Gone. The Russia will give one look at the tzaddik. The tzaddik is gone. It's finished. How then do the tzaddikim survive? It's a miracle. HaKadosh Baruch Hu watches over them. L'may nafkamina. Don't compete. Just keep a low profile. Keep a low profile.
Compete in the sense that you are describing means what? Compete how?
to confront them and go to battle in a public way.
Okay.
Take them on. Don't compete with them, the evildoers. Don't say, you know, you're a Russia, and what you're doing is wrong, and we have a different agenda, we have a different attitude, and therefore, let's have a debate. Let's go and see who has more followers. Let's, anything that's out in the open. Let's fight it out. The tzaddikim are going to lose hands down in a moment. They don't have the power to go up against evil. Yetzer leiv ha'adam ra min urav. It's natural to be evil. It's natural. To be a tzaddik requires to be a tzaddik requires an enormous amount of effort to overcome the powers of evil. Al tischar ba mireim. Do not compete with the evildoers. Al tikane be'oise Allah. And then he has a second idea. Do not be jealous. Do not be jealous of the oise avla. Oise avla, obviously, the fact the process to not be jealous them indicates that there's what to be jealous of. There's what to be jealous of. The oise avla are usually very powerful, very, very rich, very successful. They have all the power. Don't be jealous. Don't be dismayed with their wealth, their power, their success. Everything goes their way. Don't be jealous. Pasuk Beis goes on to say, because you know what's going to happen at the end of the day, at the end, and it may happen not in our lifetime, happens, but ultimately, ki che chotzir mehera yimolu, like grass, swiftly will they be cut down. Yimolu, the word yimolu is one of those words which means to be cut down. Inyan, look at the mitzudot siya in inyan krisa. There are many words.
Mow down,
exactly. They'll be mowed down very swiftly. Uchiyerek desha yiboilun, and like the vegetables of the field, desha of the desha means what does it mean?
Vegetation.
Yiboilun, they will wither. These things, they have no backbone. They have no backbone, and they can easily be cut down. And those that are not cut down, if they're not cut down on their own, they will just wither away. Yiboilun. Bitach b'Hashem instead, don't go in these ways, have faith in Hashem, tzaddikim. Have faith, although things are not going your way, although you suffer poverty, although you are a minority, have faith v'aseh tov, stay the course, do good, shechon eretz, live in the land, ure'eh emunah, and pasture with faith. Okay, that's a famous pasuk, that requires a lot of explanation what that means. Okay, so let's take a look over here at these three psukim. First, let's look first at the Mitzudos David. Mitzudos David says, Al tischar. So he says right off the bat, now what I said. Now what I said does not mean to compete, which I told you I thought is the more common translation. He says, no, Al tisorev ba mireim la'asoske ma'aseh, which means don't try to imitate them. Whole different translation according to the Mitzudos David. Look at the Mitzudos Siyon. Tis tischar inyin hadomoa. It means to be similar. The dimyon, to be similar. Hadamo vihis orev, to a mixture. Kimo vi'ech tis chare es hasusim. Now that pasuk there, indeed, it seems to be in the Mitzudos. In the Mitzudos. I just read the Mitzudos Larin to Sion. Now I'm in the Mitzudos Sion. Right, I'm sorry. I'm now in the Mitzudos Sion. Okay, he gives us a precise translation on page 327 in the Mitzudos Sion. Tzion, tischar. Tischar, he gives us a more precise translation. Inyan hadomoa means like dimyoin. The his or rave. Kumo means dimyoin and mixture. Kumo v'eich tischare es hasusim. How can you compete with the horses? A horse, how fast can a horse travel? What's the speed of a horse? 40 miles an hour?
How? With a rider, it doesn't 30? Go fast generally.
30 miles an hour?
It can go up to 40, but it doesn't maintain that speed for very long.
Depends on for a sprint.
Depends on how much horsepower.
Yeah.
So whatever it is, let's say 30 miles an hour. You have a horse. A horse is too long. 30 miles an hour. Can a person travel 30 miles an hour on his own? No way. When a person jogs, people run the marathon.
Oh,
how,
you mean a percentage, yeah.
How, and you run the marathon.
22 is the top speed that Usain Bolt ran, 22 miles an hour for the 100 yard dash. 100
yards.
22 miles an hour?
22 for the 100 yard dash.
Not bad.
Short,
not bad.
Yeah.
22 miles an hour.
Yeah, they can only run
pretty good.
Yeah, well, you're talking about the fastest.
Get worn out. And how long can you? How long can you maintain that?
100 yards.
100 yards is not all that long.
No.
Okay. So what? When a person jogs, you see people jogging on the streets. What are they? There they go. They're going 7 miles an hour.
That's pretty good. If you're going 7 miles an hour, you're a decent runner. But yeah, I mean, the top runners are going faster, but generally that's about as.
5, 10 miles, 7. Whatever. So the average horse can go, let's say, 25 miles an hour. The average person is going between 5 and 7 miles an hour. When you're gonna compete with the horse, you're gonna compete with him. You wanna go to the racetrack and you're gonna compete.
We had 4 legs, we could.
I identify as a horse. Right? In this society, it all depends what you identify with. I identify as a horse and you go to the racetrack, I also wanna run. Bet on me. Right? So, what are you, crazy? You're gonna lose. Don't compete with a horse. That's the way the word is used, and this is a very famous possible. The word is altis ve'eich. How could you ve'eich to sachare es hasusim? Okay, that was in Yirmiyah, and down there it basically means don't think that you can, don't compete. You can't travel as swiftly as a horse. Who are you fooling? So here it's the same word. So here, what does it mean? Al tischar ba mireim. So the mitzvah stuff does not take the way it's used there. Obviously everything is subject to interpretation, and he just borrows the basic concept, and he applies it here in this pasuk very differently. The concept, the abstract meaning of the word is that you're trying to be similar in some form or way, and if to be similar means either you're trying to imitate, you want to hang out with these people. And by hanging out with them, you will associate with them. Okay. And maybe you'll learn from their ways, you learn some of their secrets, you'll in society you'll be considered part of this club. You hang out with them to attempt to be similar to them. So according to the Mitzvah stuff, over here the Pasuk says, there are people that are very evil in this world. And with being evil, often comes success. Fame. And to get to the top in this world, you have to be wicked, more or less. You have to really, step on other people to make your way up to the top. So a nice Erlich person wants to cover the glory, the glamour of being on the top. So I will be just like them. I will follow in their ways. I will try to imitate them to get to that position. And that means, you got to be a little nasty sometimes.
You got Jews
are trying to imitate other evil Jews or goyim. There are plenty to go around. All varieties. 31 flavors of evildoers in this world. So it says here, Al Tischar, the Mitzudas David, again he learns the Pasuk to mean, don't try to imitate them. Okay, when we started, I told you, that's not what it means. I told you, don't try to confront them. Don't try to take them to court, to take them to task for their wickedness, because they'll step on you and they'll crush you in 1 second. They'll crush you. You can't compete with them. They're way, way too powerful. You want to go compete with the federal government? You want to go fight with them? You know better than the government, the federal government? The federal government has at their disposal an infinite number of resources to go and to knock out anyone that they want to knock out. You don't compete, just get out of their way. Get out of their way, do whatever you want to go do quietly, and still hate. You're going to take them on, we're going to take you to court. They'll clobber you. They'll clobber you without even trying. And so that's what I told you it means. Okay, that other Mepharshim said that. But that's not what the Mitzvah David says. The Mitzvah David says is don't be impressed by these people and attempt to copy them and follow in their ways to be successful. More often than not, people engage in activity that's either outright criminal or highly unethical. And for whatever the reason is, a Kodesh Baruch Hu allows them to succeed and they become extremely wealthy and popular.
He's not telling you to help the other people. Keep away from
them. Stay away. Stay away from them. He's telling you, stay away from Mireim. Mireim means evil doers, practitioners of evil. Lashon of Ra. The key letters of this word are Reish Ein Ra. And when it's used in this form, it means people who are practitioners of evil. And with being a practitioner of evil often comes success, fame, glory. And those are things which are very enticing to the average man, to imagine, you know, the whole world coming and giving honor and money and fame. So the pasuk here says, don't try to imitate the celebrities you see on television. Don't try to imitate them. These celebrities, that you don't want to be one of them. You don't want to go down that path of the people that are worshipped in this world. The more you dig into these people and you see where they got their money from and their fame and their success, the uglier it gets.
And what they do with it.
And exactly what they do with it. Don't try to imitate them. So according to the Mitzvah Sadr, I think a more accurate translation for his approach is to imitate or aspire, to imitate and aspire to be like them. One more time, the words of the Mitzvah David: Altis orev, do not mingle, ba mireim laasois, to do ki maasehem, to do like what they do, to aspire, to imitate them. That's mamash, to imitate them. Beoise avla. Then the second half of the pasuk says, don't be jealous. Don't be jealous of their success, their fame, and all of their success. Don't be jealous, but I say avla. I lost the place. Wait 1 second. But I say avla. Behatzlochas, the success of those who are osay avla. Next words, next pasuk. Pasuk basically, the pasuk goes on to say, because you know what their end is going to be. Don't go down. The end is going to be ki kechotzir lo yasmidu behatzlocha. They will not. It's not sustainable. Okay, that's the Musar of the Mitzvot Lohilim Shat. The success of the wicked people is not sustainable. Fast forward 50 years later, where are these people? Gone. Gone off the face of the earth. It's not morning. Lo yasmidu b'hatzlocha, they cannot sustain their success. Ki maher yikorsu ke'esef hazois azem hanichlas b'mehera, they will be cut down swiftly like grass. Grass is cut down very swiftly. Uchiyerek deshe, like the vegetable of the field, the vegetation. Yerek shel deshe, the yerek is the vegetables of the deshe. I guess deshe is a term which includes all vegetation. V'u'atzimech mimalo aretz hayoroik, what is green, v'halach, and what is moist. Sheboy hamemaher lichmoish min hasheresh. The moist element of vegetables very quickly, it withers away. It withers and ceases to exist. Instead, Pasuk Gimel, what should a person say? Do betach hafez in Hashem, ba Hashem lozois al tisodei imohem. Elo instead, betach ba Hashem asetov viyaza den tishkoin ba'aretz lo'arechemim. Then, hafez in Hashem, you will live in the land for many days. Look at the ma'isa with Elimelech and Elimelech and Naomi. So what happened? There was poverty. So what did he do? He left. He was a wealthy man, Elimelech, and there was terrible poverty. And every single day, people came for handouts. They knocked on his door. Can you help us? You're the only one that still has money left in society. You're the only one. So what happened? So he couldn't take it anymore. All these poor people, these shnoris, coming every day and asking for handouts. So what do you do? I'm gonna sit around over here. They don't like me because I don't give them enough money. They're never happy with what I give them. So you know what? Let's leave. Let's leave the Holy Land. He left Eretz Yisrael, and then what happened? Years passed. He died.
She didn't have to go with him.
What?
She did not have to go with him.
Why not?
The Mishnah says you can't take her out.
Did they leave Eretz? They don't leave Eretz Yisrael. They just left. They just went. They went to Moab. They did leave Eretz Yisrael. They went to Moab. You're right. Okay, I don't know the answer. I don't know the answer. Sometimes you don't have a choice. Good question. I don't know. And what was the end? Was he died? The two son-in-laws died. And then when and Naomi was
two sons.
Two sons died. And Naomi and her two daughter-in-laws were destitute. They were destitute. And when they came back years later to Eretz Yisrael, everyone survived. They all survived. All the people living there.
You know, it doesn't say that they will survive.
Yeah, but the impression you get is Hazoyz Naomi. If they say Hazoyz Naomi means right. they survived. And look what happened to you. Your husband died. Your children died. You don't have a penny to your name. We're still here. We're still surviving.
We're still poor, but we're here.
You know, it's like an area they've been saying the people who are antagonistic towards B'nai Torah, they've been saying this already for more than 50 years at least, that the system is not sustainable.
Right.
And it's not. No. Yet they're still going at it. No one understands. What?
That's what they said about leasing a car. Someone's got to buy it eventually, you know.
It's not sustainable. What? So some over here, yes, exactly. So how does it work? Whatever. Oh, so over here, the pasuk over here says that you look at these wicked people, they're living a lifestyle that is really, truly unsustainable. Don't be impressed. The end will be, they will cease to exist. They will cease, and those people who really don't know how to survive, b'tach b'Hashem v'aseh tov and do good, shukhan eretz. The mitzudot started learned. You have to add words into this pasuk. You just have faith, and you do what you're supposed to do, and Hashem guarantees a blessing that you will live in the land for arichas yamim. The wicked who are living these lifestyles that appear to be incredible, and they're going to live forever with all their yachts and their assets and their summer homes and all their glory, very quickly they just disappear off the face of the earth. Very quickly, just disappear. They're cut down, either they're cut down by someone, or they just very swiftly wither away. All the people that are glorious celebrities, and everyone is coming to worship them, and when you study what's really going on behind the scenes, how they achieved all this success, this fame, through incredible corruption and lies, and stepping on people, the end is, and what about the poor people? Just stay the course. B'tach b'Hashem v'aseh toiv. Do good, do what is emes. And the end will be, you will have arichas yamim shechon eretz. You will have arichas yamim. And the last words are, b'tach b'Hashem re'ei emuna. What does that mean in the Mitzvot of David? T'ye roya v'nizoyin minu hamuna shemanta b'Hashem. It's a beautiful expression. And you will sustain yourself. You will be sustained through the faith that you have expressed in Hashem. The faith in Hashem of being honest and truthful, that will sustain you in some way supernaturally to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to live avarichas yamim and have a good life. And whereas those wicked people, gone with the wind, no one even knows what happened to them. A miserable existence, and a very swift and thorough cutting off from this world. It's like the words over here are so true. You look around in this world, what goes on, it's not to be believed. Okay, now, that is what it says over here, that is what it says over here in the parish of Mitzvot. Now let's go to an alternative interpretation. Rashi. The Halakha Rashi, Pasuk Aleph, Al Tischar Ba Mireim, Mochiach Es Yisrael Hu, Shlo Yischaru BeHatzlochas HaMireim, Lasayis Kemaseim. Okay, so far Rashi is on the same page as the Mitzvahs. Rashi is not translating compete. Rashi is or confront. He's not saying that yet. He's not saying to. Okay, we start off by translating the words as to compete, to confront. The Mitzudoi says to imitate.
Two different things.
Right, so
he's saying don't compete.
He's not saying compete here. Right, he's saying do not imitate. According to the Mitzvah Stavit, the word in this context, tischar, means to imitate. So Rashi is saying the same thing. Moichiach, David is giving Musar, and Moichiach has Yisrael, who? Now, by the way, this is very interesting because I don't think we had so far until now where David is giving Musar. David is not a person that we generally associate with giving Musar to Klal Yisrael. David gives advice. Advice. David tells you about his life. David prays, he supplicates. But you don't get the impression that David was a Baal Musa. Moshe Rabbeinu, the whole Chumash Devarim, is Musa. Mechiach, v'gamzeh, you find in Rashi and Chumash, Moshe Rabbeinu continuously is giving Musa to the Jewish people. Moshe with fire and brimstone, he comes down hard. Yaakov, you know, at the end of his life, he gives Musa. You don't find David giving Musa. Even when David is about to die and he calls over Shlomo and he tells Shlomo about Malchus, it's very soft. He basically is telling him, I'm giving you some good advice, do this. You don't find that David at the end of his life when he gives over the Malchus to Shlomo is giving Shlomo Musa. You made this mistake, that mistake, you don't see that. Even with his own children, all the things that happened in his life, you don't see him giving Musa. He complains that he's a complainer. He is a kvetch. He kvetches to Hashem. This happened, that happened. He gives advice. This is a very unique Rashi.
Okay, but this is an outgrowth of it. Because he has enemies, internal enemies, who are Rishaya, right?
But he's not speaking to his enemies in this passage.
Of course not. He's speaking to the regular people.
He's talking, he's you know, talking to the future.
Don't be like them.
Mochiach. Do a computer search. How often does it say in Tehillim and Rashi the word Mochiach? Rashi in Chumash, in Chumash Devarim, Rashi used the word Mochiach in reference to Moshe numerous times, including this parasha. Numerous times it says the word Mochiach. In Tehillim, how many times does Rashi use the word Mochiach in reference to David's words in what he said what he says to Klal Yisrael, Mochiach es Yisrael who
Yaakov, he's so much the Mochiach he gives at the end, but he's also saying after the 14 years that he splits with Laban to take his own flock, and he says Yochichu ben Shnei.
Oh, Yaakov did you Musa?
Right. I mean, he said, in other words, he was saying to his wife Yochichu ben Shnei. Now we'll see. In other words, he's saying, I'm a tzaddik, so to speak. And now we'll see, you'll see what happens to him.
Well, he says
to
Lava. He really said that to Lava.
Right. Yeah, I mean, but he's saying it as a, now we'll see.
Yochichu bein shneihem, right. Okay, so you do see there Musar, and a Chanami. You do see there Musar. Okay. So we have a
live his life by example rather than speaking his words. In other words, by Yivar David as Hashem Leinei Kol Hakol by Yom David. You know, that's the point.
All right, let's see.
Just rely on God.
Mechiach as Yisrael Hu Shlo Yischaru BeHatzlochas Hamareim. He is giving Musar to the Jewish people that they should not imitate. From the context of Rashi's words that follow, it indicates that he translates the word Yisrael as to imitate. Don't compete. Do you think you can compete with the horses? Lodu, it's to run. Okay, next. Al takana biyos avlo lasoiz to do avlo kimoisam. Right. So this is. I'm sorry. Oh yeah. The what is the French word? Lotsos bimirutzasam.
Atir, which means to compete.
Ah, compete.
Competition. Yeah.
Excellent. A tournament. Wow. Interesting how all these, the etymology of these words. Okay, so don't. Do not compete. But the way Rashi is using the word compete over here obviously means la sois kim ma'asehem is a competition with the flavor of imitation. Don't imitate them. Okay, al tekanu yosei avlo, la sois to do avlo kimoisam, same exact concept. To do avla Don't be jealous of them, and thus follow in the ways. Next, Yimalu, because what is the end going to be? So, what do these words mean? The end is going to be cut down.
Truncated.
Yes, that's right. It means they'll be cut off.
They'll be cut down. Lashon kirisa.
What?
Short. Truncated. To be cut. Lashon kirisa. Pasuk gimel b'tach b'Hashem. Have faith in Hashem. The al toimar imloy exol ve'egnoiv oy eten la'ani tzedaka. Or if I bame esparnes. Do not say the only way you can survive in business in America is by being a ganef. I hope it's not true. but there are a lot of people that you deal with, and like, the only way, you know, how can you do this? Everyone does this. And if I'm not gonna do this, I cannot compete. Okay, don't you hear that often? You hear these type of lines? Is that this is what they all do? I have this every so often where people come to the house to fix something in the house, comes time to pay them. No. Cash. I say I don't carry around that kind of cash. That's over my the amount of cash. No. Cash. If you want to pay by credit card, I'm gonna have to charge you a lot more. Because then it's all reported and I can't make a parnasa. I can't compete with my, if I would have told you when I call, how much do you want to do this? And I would tell you, you wouldn't take me. Because my competitor will tell you less. This is the way we do business in America. Cash. If you want, I had one guy, had some very, he said, if you want, we'll do it like this. Half cash and half, you know, with the contract, so I can show, if I get audited, I can show the contract, but half of that, and that way, that will be the job, but we'll do the good stuff, you know, what we're really going to do, you got to pay half cash. And then when I told him no, I told him I couldn't get that much cash anyway. But like, there's a certain attitude in the business world is if you want to be, the only way you can make a parnasa is by being a ganef. Unfortunately, that's a very common attitude. So guess what? The more things change, the more they stay the same. And Rashi, how many years ago? Rashi, over 1,000 years ago. Is it over 1,000 years ago? Not exactly close. 900 years ago, he already said, "B'tach b'Hashem, the al toimar, do not say, im loy exol ve'egna, if I don't openly steal and secretly steal, oh etein lani, if I give a donation to the poor man, etein lani tzedaka, b'me'es parnes, how am I going to make a parnasa? How am I going to pay tuition? So don't say that. Va'asei toiv. But instead, do what is correct, do what is good. V'oz, and then Eshkan Eretz, then Hashem is giving you a bracha. You will live in the land. Lo'orech yamim, v'sir emuna. Toichal, you will eat. V'sisparnes, misachar, from the reward. Ho emuna, shehe emanta, be'hakadosh baruch hu, lismech olav la'asoyz tov. The faith you had in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to rely upon Him. I have faith in you, Hashem. I'm going to be honest, even though it's going to cost me a lot, and I'm going to walk away very, very upset. That expression of emuna will give you more parnasa in the long run than all of these wicked people who take advantage of the situation. It's an incredible. Incredible pasuk, incredible Rashi, to see mamash with these words inside, literally, unbelievable. Let us look at the Radak, these words. Radak. Aleph beis l'david al tischar b'mareim l'chol hashemem musaroi omar al tischar. Okay, so by the way, we never explained what is David writing this mizmer in reference to. Doesn't really say very much over here. In the Mepharshim, that's always the most fun of learning Tehillim is in reference to what's the background to this psalm. Look at the Sipurna. Okay, let's jump to the Sipurna for one moment, because I think he's the only one that really says something about this. Zeh mizmar amar David al malachei beis David hakesheidim mei rechavam ben Shlomo shenechluka malchusoi ad chizkiyahu shechozro oz kol amaluchu lemalachei beis David v'chein amar al tischar b'amreim. Let's read what he means. The David over here, according to this, is talking about the split in his malchus. David was not alive when this happened, obviously. Yeah. But David, al pi ruach hakodesh, knew that his son Shlomo would inherit his throne. He did, obviously, selected him. And then, after Shlomo would die, his Rechavam would take the throne. And already at that time, things were not so great. And there was a very big debate in his cabinet. By Shlomo, should the people already beginning to get a little antsy? And what should be the correct approach in the Malchus? Should he take a very tough fist, a very, very strong stand on the kingdom and tolerate no nonsense? And in fact, raise the taxes, come down upon the people with a very heavy hand.
Was there anything else on this platform other than raising taxes?
Yeah, there were the Zakenim, the people in this cabinet that says that now the proper approach at this generation, this era, is to go soft. Unconditional love. You have to go soft with the people. Lower the taxes.
That's the only
it's an attitude in government. Forgive student loans. Go easy with people. Let people out of jail. Go easy on people. There's a tekufa, there's a time. There's a time for everything in this world. There's a time to go easy, a time to go be tough. The Zakenim says now is not a time in Jewish history for the Malchus of Hashem to be very, very tough. You have to loosen up just a bit. Maybe
because look what they have just been through. An attempted coup, all kinds of
what attempted coup?
It's Malucha.
Ashmedai. With Ashmedai.
David, now,
David's new, long gone. David's died. We're doing Shlomo.
A new administration.
Yeah, we're dealing.
He's saying this with his history under his belt. That's what he's saying. I mean, his experience in life has taught him that's what his attitude is.
Everything in life goes up and down. Up and down. David over here is looking into the future, into the generation of Rechavam. Rechavam, when Rechavam took the throne, that was after 40 years of Shlomo HaMelech. Shlomo was a very successful melech. There was no problems in his malchus. We don't have any problems. He built. I shouldn't say no problems. I take that back. But overall, Shlomo HaMelech, he built up Klal Yisrael. He built the Beis HaMikdash. What do you want? He built the Beis HaMikdash, the Bayis Rishon, the glory of the Bayis Rishon, the Shechina, a permanent resting place. He ruled over the entire world. He ruled over the entire world. He married 1,000 wives, political alliances over the entire world. It was overall an extremely successful era in Jewish history. Ish tachas gafna v'tachas tein osoi. There was peace in the world. It was, we can't even fathom what it was like. Okay, behind the scenes, you know, you married, too many. Hashem told you not to go marry too many wives, not to have too much money. You violated. The seeds of Chorban Arei were planted. Correct.
Planted.
The seeds were already planted. But overall, in the big picture of things, from the way, the perspective of the world and history, it was an unbelievable era. And now he dies. Rechavam takes over. Things are already getting complicated. Okay, vayishgun yishudin vayivot. It's a new era. And, you know, things are not, that's the way life, everything in life goes up and down. And now, what's the proper mahalich? It's a new generation, it's a new era. And there was a machloikis, the Chazal said, there was a disagreement among these yoatzim. He had young yoatzim, the yuppies, and he had the old-time people, the old zakenim. And the old zakenim says, our life experience has taught us that there are cycles in this world, and there's cycles in how to govern, and it is our advice to you that you should loosen up. Lower the taxes. Don't lead with toughness, with a stick.
Strong hand.
Lighten up. Be the, you know, you go put on, you know, a casual Friday. Come in with, you know, with some slacks and with a nice jacket, you go into the pizza store. Mingle with the people. Shlomo wouldn't be caught dead going into the pizza store, mingling with the people. Shlomo HaMelech. I remember hearing years ago, Clinton, this goes back, he was once, they were driving to some state event, and they passed by a McDonald's on the road, whole entourage, 1,000 cars, you know, with the nuclear codes, and ambulances and communication. And he saw, and Clinton, he saw McDonald's. And he said to them, you know, I'm hungry. I want like a cheeseburger. Mr. President, we have for you when we get to our destination. We have steak and I want some junk food now. Let's go to McDonald's. Mr. President, we can't do that. We don't have the assets. We haven't vetted. There might be some assassins there waiting for you in McDonald's. Don't give me this garbage. Pull over. I'm the president. I give you, this is a true story. Pull over. We're going into McDonald's. I want to have some junk food. That's the way. He loved this stuff. And they're going out of their minds. And he goes in there. And the people in McDonald's couldn't believe who just walked in. No one came. Normally, or something like this, they come a month in advance. They scout out the place. They have secret service. Here, just out of nowhere, you come in, he sits down, and this push of the person, go, what would you like? Gives you a filthy, dirty menu. What would you like? Okay, it's not hilarious, these type of things, the unexpected. So the people, the Zakenim, he scored a lot of points with it. This, I know, you know, they score points with this. The common man. But sometimes, it's a zilzel. Kvoid Malchus. The Kavoid Malchus does not allow you to go into a McDonald's. Doesn't allow such a thing. It's a zilzel for the Malchus. When is it appropriate? When is it not appropriate? It depends. Everything depends. The Zakenim told Rechavam, loosen up. It's a new door. You got to go loosen up. And the young people said, no. Rule with an iron fist. And he made the foolish mistake by listening to the young people. And that was the end. The people could not handle it. He raised the taxes. There was a massive rebellion. And Yeravam ben Nevat took with him the majority of Klal Yisrael. They decided enough of this, Mishagas. And they rebelled. And the Malchus split. And the Malchus that split, even though it was sanctioned, as the Peldik of Sipurno. Because the words of Nevim are very clear. It was sanctioned by Achia Hashiloini. Achia Hashiloni, he was the Navi, he says, this must split. This, there is indeed legitimate complaints against the leadership of Rechavam, and he anointed Yeravam ben Nevat, plan B, I rise in the same mission, plan B. The Malchus indeed has to split. But the plan was, it was only meant to split for a very short time, for one generation. Until Rechavam gets the message and does teshuva, and then Klal Yisrael will return under his authority. Unfortunately, once you go down the wrong path, it never was restored, never. It went like this for the next 160 years until Sanhedrin came and took the entire Aseres HaShvatim into exile, and no one even knows what happened to them. And this Malchus of Yisrael, under the authority led by Yeravam ben Nevat, was generally Rishon. Terrible Rishon, Oivdei Avodah Zarah. They were at war with their own brothers, the Malchus of David, of Yehuda and Benjamin. It was a horrible, horrible 160 years of civil war in Klal Yisrael. Very rare moments where they got made peace with each other. The two different kingdoms, very short-lived. But it was a horrible thing. And according to the Sipurno, this is the background to understand this Mizmor. And he's the only one that does that here. Okay, this is the fun. The whole fun of the Mizmor is, wait, what are you talking about? Identify an era, a tekufa, an event, to give us some context of what this Mizmor is referring to. And so he says, Zeha Mizmor, Amadavim al-Malchei Beis David, Hakesherim. He's referring to his descendants, to Shlomo, Rechavam, and all of the 21 kings down his line. All the 21 kings down his line. Merechavam ad Shlomo, Shlomo, Shnechukam al-Husay, ad Chizkiyahu. Until, when did Chizkiyahu, now this is a very interesting what he says, because this, what he says over here is not so simple. What do I mean by this? Because when Sanherif exiled, let's make a Chakira, a Lamdash Chakira, in Navi. go home, you go ask the people who are Bikim in Navi, all the experts in Navi, what they say about this Chakira. Ultimately, what happened? Ultimately, this Malchus split for 160 years until came along Sancheirif, and he exiled the Aseres HaShvat. When that happened, there were pockets of Jews, small numbers of Jews from the Aseres HaShvatim that did not go into exile, and they were basically absorbed into the Malchus of Yehuda. I mean, they had no one else. Okay, who else is going to pay? Where else are you going to get a stimulus check from? You're not getting it from the Malchus of Yehud, of Yisrael, because the Malchus of Yisrael ceased to exist. So here's the Chakira. When the Malchus of Yisrael ceased to exist, is it the Pshat that now the She'eris HaPleita of the Malchus of Yisrael returned and recommitted themselves to the Malchus of Yehuda? Or is it the Pshat? No. The Malchus of Yisrael ceased to exist, period. And there was never a time anymore where the Malchus of David was restored to include the entire Klal Yisrael. The Pashtus says, like the second Mahal, is that the Malchus of Yisrael came to an end, and that's it, they're gone. All that is left at Hayom Hazeh is one Malchus, the Malchus of Yehuda, which only includes Yehuda and Binyamin. Oh, but there are people from the Aseres HaShvatim that are still found. Okay, they converted. They converted. It's not that, the words, he used the words which I couldn't use, I couldn't say.
Assimilated into Malchus Yehuda.
But it's not the pshat that the Malchus of Yehuda was restored to the whole cloud
right.
Of Israel.
Was Chayr at the same time as Hizkiyahu?
Yes. That was his nemesis. Hizkiyo versus Sancheir. Yes. Then those were the two that were one up against the other. So look at the words of the Sibun. Sipurno says the first Mahalich, which is not the thing that the average person would say. Now, the truth is, I remember vaguely there are psukim that indicate that he's right, that they almost explicitly say it, but not 100%. Look at his words. A very important Sipurno, what he writes here. He writes, again, this is the third line of the Sipurno. Let's read the whole thing again. Zem is Mar Medav Al Malcha Beis Vav Derak Shem Vem Vem Recham Biad Shvet Shom Shnech La Malchuse Ad Chizkiyahu until Chizkiyahu Shechazro Oz Kol HaMalucha. The whole Malucha return L'Malchei Beis David to Malchei Beis David. Really? That's a tremendous Chiddush. Ask the average person, no one would say the word Shechazra Oz Kol HaMalucha. Most people will tell you that when Sancheiriv exiled the Aseres HaShvatim, nothing was Chazra. The Aseres HaShvatim are gone.
Right.
They're gone. And the Malchus of David, of Yehuda, it continues. It doesn't absorb, now the Malchus of Yehuda is Moilech on the 10 Shvatim. There are no 10 Shvatim. They're gone. Oh, the Yechidim? Yechidim don't count. Yechidim don't count. They're not significant.
Chazra remain.
The date. Let's try to put in secular terms. The United States of America, there are 50 states. Okay, let's say 48 states form their own nation. They leave, they rebel, they go, and they...
Say the Civil War, whatever.
They separate. And then, fast forward 160 years, the 48 states are conquered by the Indians. And they're gone. They're taken off to... They're taken away to the North Pole. The Indians are very upset. They took away our land. They take every single citizen in the 48 states. They pack them up on buses, on airplanes. They take them to the North Pole. They take him somewhere else. And of course, there are some, you know, there's She'eris HaPleita. There are some people that didn't get on the bus. You know, they're living out in the hick somewhere. Now, the two states that are still the United States of America, does the flag still have, until now, the flag had 50 stars. During the 160 years, the flag only had 2 stars. Are you going to say now they're going to put back the 50 stars on the flag? No. I don't think you would say the flag, it used to have 50 stars, And now it only has two, that's two stars. And now we're in the 48 states, they just disappear off the face of the earth. And there are some remnants, you know, there are some, the Klal Yisrael has to have members of all Shadim. Are you going to say that the United States of America, which has for the 100, which has only for the last, the 160s, has only two stars now? How you going to say, okay, it's fine, please, take your time.
I'm sorry.
No, nothing to say sorry. Thank you very much. Thank you. No problem.
This what you just said,
yeah.
If I remember correctly, was the pair of Dalit of Hoshea.
Have a nice day. Good Shabbos. Good Shabbos.
He was telling you the rule of Hoshea was, you know, you think that this is.
Thank you very much.
Israel.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much.
Louis.
Is it Louis? Louis,
yeah.
Louis, thank you. Have a good day, Louis. Thank you.
Hoshea was warning them, you're next.
Back.
Don't
you also go to the Gulf.
They're gone and you're next.
It's an incredible chiddush what the Mitzvah started with, what the supporters said. The supporters says that when the Malchus of the Sanherib, it's now a Zman when the Malchus of Yehuda Chozra Limloich Al Kol Yisrael. It's a chiddush. That was the original plan, by the way. But you know, a lot of things don't go according to plan. Shechozra os kol hamalucha lemalchei beis David. Go ask someone who knows Nach. Ask them this dilemma, this hakira. When the Aseres HaShvatim came to an end, is that the pshat that now the Malchus of David was melech on kol Yisrael? Or no? They continue, the Malchus of Klal Yisrael today is only two Shvatim. Yehuda ben Yamin. What happened to the Aseres HaShvatim? Gone. So what about the She'eres HaPleita? They're absorbed within Yehuda and Binyamin. They're basically assimilated, whatever language you want to use, they converted. Yeah, you'll check their DNA. Oh, this guy's from Shevet Dan, this guy's from Shevet Naphtali and Yehuda. But they're all called Yehudin. They're all called Yehudin. Who gives you your stimulus check? It's who gives you your food stamps, not the Malchus of it's the Malchus of Yehuda. It's Yehuda. We're all called today Ish Yehudi. Klal Yisrael called Yehudim.
He would have said,
call
Eretz Yisrael. That is
better. He said, Shechaz call Eretz Yisrael. But if he
went,
yeah, I know that. He said these are words. How literal do you want to take the sipur? Know what he says, and you got to back it up. Got to back it up. Okay, next. Al tischan pasuk adin. Al tischan. Look at the sipur a little bit more on the sipur. Just to see what he follows through. Al tischan b'mreim. Ata you richavam shalokach yirovam es roiv malchuscha. Oh, so you see, this is what I told you when we started the Mizmar today. See how he learns? The Sipurno translates the word Tischar literally. Don't compete. The Mitzudois and Rashi translate the word Tischar to mean do not imitate. The Sipurno says wrong. It means don't compete. David HaMelech is giving advice to his grandson Rechavam. Don't compete. Don't try to go to war with them and to fight with them. You're going to lose. They're a shoyim. Al atar chavam shalokach yiravam es roiv malchuscha al tischar bo lihilochem olav ve'al si also and his companions and all of those who joined him hamachazikim biyado ki kichotzir behiro yimalu im tasmir ato leleches b'darchei Hashem. If you, I'm saying tasmid, if you, my grandson, Rechavam, will fortify yourself to stay the course, to be a masmit in going in the ways of Hashem, l'chein asei tov u'rei amuna, b'kiyum shloi sosur midarki Hashem k'mo shosisa, achar sholoi shanu malchuso, like he did. He was faithful. They went down the wrong path. The Aseres HaShvatim, it went from bad to worse. Bad to worse, they made two replicas of the Beis Hamikdash, one in Basel and one in Dan. They had an Egel Hazav, all the strangest things in the world you could imagine. They started doing the Aseres HaShvatim. Yeah. Who's what? No, I don't think so. Rechavim's mother, I think was from Ammon. Nama. I think that was the mother. Rus, from Rus came David. Okay, so there's the mother of Shlomo, not the mother of Rus. I don't know the answer. All right, so Rechavim.
Shlomo and
Noah
were created,
but not. No. Right. Bathsheba. Shlomo was Bathsheba. Who was Shlomo's mother?
Bathsheba.
So Nama was the mother of Rechavim, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Definitely the mother of Shlomo.
Gotta go look it up.
Okay. Gemara has the whole thing about that, how old it was. It's ridiculous.
So
it should be birthday when she's 8 years old. Fits in there.
Okay, so this is the background, and in the process of this background, we're getting an idea that the word Lord Tischar means to compete, not to imitate. Let's do this the Radak. L'David al Tischar b'Avraham l'chol hashemei musor almar al Tischar on page 327. L'fi shezach amachshem esar shem maseim haroyim amar shlo yifuteh adam lochem b'roisa hatzlochasam ba'avur sheyir lochem hatzlocha ki loy samur hatzlochasam. Al tischar writes a lemma, al tisodei v'hu b'shekel, the same grammatical form of tif'al, sharshoi, sachar, me'inyan ve'eich tischare es asusim v'lo mi'binyono. It seems from the gist of what the Radak is saying is like Rashi and the Mitzudos don't try to imitate. Al tikanei b'yose avla kishetireim shalevim. When you see their tranquility, Ushiketim ki acharisam larak kumash amar, don't be impressed, they're going to all be cut down ki chatsir mehera yimalu yikarsu v'hu minakal, okay, v'chuyer kibolun. Let's skip that. Let's go take a look over here at the Mamori Chazal, and we'll stop with that. Mamori Chazal, on this pasuk, al tischar ba'mereim v'al tikanei. V'al tikanei b'yose avla, Rabbi Dostai, Rabbi Mosim, Oimer, mutul l'hiskoros, v'rashoy bo'ilam hazeh, shenemar, oize soiro yehalu rosha. Those that abandon the Torah, Yahal the Rasha praise, read it backwards. The wicked praise those who abandon the Torah, but Meshamei Soira, Yiskaru Bom. That's the main part of the pasuk. Vim lechoshcha adam lemar v'haksev al tischar b'amreim. Don't you dare. This is the counterpart. Al tekanu b'yosei avlo emar loy. Me sheli by night for shiur me'aver shabi yada. Only the part, only the just read the very words, we'll explain it quickly afterwards. Oh, Chazal said in the Farish, don't try to imitate them. Al tekane be oisera liyos ki oisera avla. Eini even Rabbi Yitzchak Yisrael Rosh Hashem Shashon Misachis loy al tezkar loy shenemar yechilu dracha b'choleis loy kashcha b'mil hadidecha b'mil yishmaya v'yibayisem ucho v'cho b'mil yishmaya v'loy kashcha ucho b'rosh Shashon Misach loy. We had this more, we learned this together, this Chazal, famous Chazal. Alright, to summarize this, we're not going to read the detail. To summarize basically over here is this debate that we have here between the Sipurno and the Mitzudot Stav and Rashi and the Radak is really a debate in the Gemara. The Gemara on the one hand says there's a contradiction in the pasuk. If we can learn the pasuk literally like the Sipurno, it means don't compete. Stay far, far away. They will wipe you out. The tzaddik attempts to fight with the Rasha will overwhelm the tzaddik. That's the reality. But the pasuk says, another pasuk that says, v'shaimre soira yisgaru vam, explicitly. The pasuk says, fight. Go fight. If you see a Rasha, get up and be a vigilante. Hakei, right, you go and fight. So the Gemara basically says it all depends. And when you go through all of the different answers of the Gemara, the basic gist is, who's fighting? Are you going to fight? Are you really any better than the Rasha? Are you really a tzaddik? When you go fight with them, they'll say, Keshoit atzmecha v'achachach keshoit achaverecha. If they're going to say to you, you're a hypocrite, and they have dirt on you, then you know what? Stay far away. Number two, another answer is, it all depends on the zman. There are different errors in his. Sometimes you see shahasha misachek eslo. You see that he is enjoying good mazel. You see that there's something supernatural that's giving them success. Stay away. Another answer the Gemara says, when you want to fight about religious matters, or you want to fight about corruption, about non-religious matters. When it comes to religious matters, fight. If you see a Russia that's murdering people, that's stealing people, then don't fight. Or maybe the other way around. I haven't given Shiloh which way. There's a difference between religious matters and non-religious matters. The Gemara goes, oh, we have Dr. Cohen is back. Baruch Hashem, we were so worried. Harav. Boker Tov. How are you? We missed you. Is everything okay? We were very concerned. We haven't seen you in a long time. It's so good to see you back.
Thank you.
Baruchim Haboim, B'Shem Hashem, in the name of everyone here.
Kiddush,
no? Okay, so we have over here basically this dilemma that we are working through between Rashi, Mitzudos Radak, that says don't imitate them, is which basically means don't you dare start up with them. If you start up with them, you're finished. They'll wipe you out. That is going in a certain time. When you realize that Shahashom is Sachek Eslahem, where they're very successful, stay away. Or who are you? If you are not a Tzadik Gomor, then better stay away, because they'll overcome. And what are you coming to fight about? Mili de Shemaya, mili de Alma. There are times where indeed it is not a good idea to fight. Then translate the word al tischar, don't imitate. But there are other times in this world where no, it is the proper time to fight. Then translate the words like the Sipurno. There are times al tischar, don't imitate. Don't imitate them, but fight. Go for it. Fight. But there are times where no, adarabu, it's not a time to fight. It all depends on who are you to fight. The era of history that we're in. And are you coming to fight about spiritual matters, or are you coming to fight about materialistic matters? Or mili de alma, whatever that means. Mili de alma, these different other matters, not necessarily spiritual matters. There's a time for everything, and depending upon that will be a nafkamina on how you translate this word. Don't compete with them, or do not imitate them. Yeah.
I feel that everything you're saying right now, it's my own opinion, is very much reflective of what happened with the reform and the conservative movement. And at one time, they were very, very powerful. They were extremely powerful. And
can't fight with them.
Hmm?
You can't fight with them then. Then you shouldn't fight.
Yeah. But now, I think it was their failure to produce future generations. You know, they all intermarried and
there's no one to fight with anymore. Yeah. There's no one to fight with anymore. It's sad.
Financially, they are powerful, but that's it. Not people. More.
There's no one to fight with.
But in Eretz Yisrael, the power is through the courts. It's not through the people. You know, they're threatening Eretz Yisrael very, very much.
Eretz Yisrael, though, there's a very different culture. In America, if the courts issue laws, people in America are very submissive. They'll do whatever the law is. In Eretz Yisrael, people don't comply. The government can issue all the laws at once. There's a chutzpah. People, the courts can issue laws. People just don't comply. In America, Americans comply. Americans have a nature of...
That's in Israel, the Avira, the Aretz, makes you an Am Sheor.
It makes you, there's a chutzpah. they may succeed in the legal system, but the people, they're good for you. You won in the court. I'm not listening. And when you have a significant segment of society that doesn't comply, so the laws become a problem. It doesn't work. The whole system doesn't function. It becomes dysfunctional. In America, you get a few mishugoyim into government, and they manipulate the system where they're able to get elected, and they legislate, and they do things that most of the country is not interested in. It's amazing how quickly the country just, if that's the law, that's the law. It's incredible. How many people are identify with this element of, I don't even say the word, like same gender, okay? How many people? I think it's less than 3%. 3% of the citizens in this country. Google it, you check it off. Yet if you walk in the street, you would really believe in any public institution, anywhere you go, it's at least 80% of the country. They embrace and they believe in this. How could it be that 3% of the country dominates and changes the mindset of a whole country? It's because of submission. Submission. In Israel, Jews don't...
Deception?
They create deception and people just hear you. Mamash, you go into a building, or you know, you go into a building, a man can go into a woman's bathroom. In many places, that's the law. How many people really want to do that? Believe in that? Less than 3% and probably less than 1%. So why do you get the impression that the whole country believes in this?
They're very public.
And no, it's more than being public, is that the people go for it, they accept it.
Yeah.
How could people accept a law?
They don't.
Chazal is a cruel.
They woke up and all they found this thing that they didn't see coming.
Gezerah she'ein roiv ha'tzibur yecholim lamoid bo. Chazal make a halacha, and guess what? No one follows, no one complies. Non-compliance in Klal Yisrael. There's such a thing of non-compliance. In America, it's not like that. In America, people just somehow, like I'm called, they're deceived to believing this is what you got to do, and people do it. In Israel, you don't have that. It's not like that. The nature of the people in Israel is very tough. All right, we're done. Next, we're going right to next week. We'll take a very short break. This will finish in a few moments.